Well, last Sunday I preached about adversity and enduring adversity. And then this week I endured quite a lot. Or at least it felt like there was a decent amount of adversity getting in our way in different ways. Beyond just physical illnesses, but frustrations and challenges and stresses and all kinds of things. But the Lord did very graciously and miraculously provide my family with a new van. We were given one of the delivery vans from Chick-fil-A. My boss said that he was going to give it to his church because he didn't need it anymore, and it just was sitting in the parking lot. And he asked one of his managers, one of his executives, "Do you know someone that needs a van?" And that guy knew about my need. He said, "Well, yes, actually, I do." And so Hal called me up and he said, "Would you be interested in this van?" I said, yeah, I would. Yeah. Did the sun come up this morning? Then yeah, probably. So he said, "All right, well, it's yours. And it's not like it's a family travel van. It's a work van, which is just fine. It's exactly what we had before. And, you know, it's going to have one seat in the back and then the rest of it's just, you know, rugged storage. So I'll be able to carry a sheet of plywood or something in it if I need to." So I'm very, very grateful for it. And it was such a boost to our faith to realize that God is able to take care of us and, you know, provides for the needs that we have and pays attention. You know, sometimes you pray and you work and you press forward in the monotony of life and nothing happens, nothing changes, and you begin to think, "Does God remember that I'm down here and I'm trying hard, you know?" And something like that really helps you to remember that, yeah, He does see, He does know. And so it was a huge, huge blessing to our faith, and I just wanted to share that with you today. But I wanted to share a few verses with you from Colossians. And this is a double version day, because I typically like to preach out of the King James Bible, but once in a while, one of the other versions that I trust also says it in a very, very clear and helpful way. So I'd like to kind of work out of both. But in Colossians chapter 1 is where we will read. This verse just jumped out at me, and I've not been able to get away from it because of the weakness of my voice. Oh, time for a cough drop. Thank you so much, Miss Peggy. It's a huge blessing to you. But hopefully, because of the weakness of my voice, this will be a slightly shorter message. We'll see. Yeah, Matt doesn't believe that's possible. Let's pray before we dive into the Word. Father in heaven, I pray that you would bring understanding and revelation of the truth to our hearts. And I pray against the evil powers and principalities that would like to get in the way and keep us from understanding what you want us to. I pray that you would just give your anointing, not only to my words, but to those who will hear. I pray that you'd help us to understand. Help us to see you for who you really are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he's saying how grateful he is for their love and their faith, and how Epaphras had related to Paul all the good things that the Colossians were doing, the love they had for one another in Jesus. And then he shares some verses that I, honestly, as I have read them and have meditated upon them, I feel like this could almost be the vision that I have for our church body. This is the way I think God wants us to live with one another. It just inspired me, as particularly appropriate for Grace Bible Church this year. So I'd like to read this and share with you, starting in verse 9. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And that is where we will end the reading for now. I think it's important to see how this begins, and that is that Paul is telling them, since we have heard of your love for one another and your initial faith, we have not stopped to pray for you. We are incessantly praying that you might be filled. He's saying, this is really, really important to us. To me and to those that are ministering with me, we are intently praying for these things. Here's what he said. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To me, that is one of the biggest keys in the growing and maturity of a believer, is understanding what is God's will. Knowing his desires. Because as we grow in faith, as we come to love the Lord more and more, we want what he wants, because we begin to see that his perspective is more pure than mine. He sees everything, and he knows what's best for me, and he loves me more than anyone else does, so what he wants is what's best. I'm seeking after his will, not mine. That's the best thing for a believer to do. But to have knowledge of his will with spiritual wisdom and understanding is incredibly key. Now, this Greek word for knowledge is a very powerful word. I've probably spoken about it here before, because that's one of the foundational things of all of Christianity, all of our walk with God. It's the Greek word epignosis. Epi is an intensifying verb, which means up or upon. It means from above, basically. And gnosis means knowledge or factual knowledge. So epignosis is more than just the knowledge that you get from a book. Anyone can read a book and gain gnosis, gain knowledge, regular old factual knowledge. Epignosis is a more intensified form of knowledge that only comes from above. It's the knowledge that is revealed to us. You can't just go to a book and get that kind of epignosis. Epignosis is something that God bestows upon us. So to have epignosis of his will with wisdom and spiritual understanding is something God reveals to us. It's not something I can... Well, often, you can go to the Bible and you can read it and you can find God's direction in your life through reading the Bible, but that's because God brings a rhema to your mind, or God opens up your spiritual understanding to see what his will is for you. He didn't write down a list of everything for Matt's life, everything for Marianne's life, or Ezekiel's life. He didn't give you a whole list. He reveals to us the true knowledge of his will. That's why Paul didn't say, I have, since I heard of your faith and your love, I have not ceased to write down everything I possibly could for you to study so that you could gain the knowledge of his will. He didn't say, I have a list of books for you to read so that you can find the knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom and understanding. He said, I'm praying that God would reveal his will to you. That's what he said to them, to the church of Colossae. So as, he says, verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In the English Standard Version, which is the version I want us to kind of bounce back and forth with, in verse 10 he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. The reason that we want to have the true knowledge of the will of God, the understanding, spiritual wisdom and understanding in knowing his will, is because it will allow us to walk in a way that is fully pleasing to the Lord. To live and walk in a way that pleases him, that is our heart's desire. It should be. That's my heart's desire for this body of believers, is that we would all walk in a way that is pleasing, fully pleasing to him, in a manner that is worthy of him. Think about that. Walk worthy of the Lord. What are we called? Zeke, what are we called? True. Good. What's another one? So what are we, when somebody says that's a group of, well, there you go. Good one. Good one. What's another one? Exactly. Good one. All true. We are believers. We are Christians. We are called after his name. His name is Christ. Christos, the Messiah. He is the way. If we are followers of the way, which sometimes Christians are referred to, we're called after his name. To be called a Christian means literally a little Christ. We're talking about the most holy being that has ever existed. We're talking about the creator of the universe, the man who loved us enough to die for things he didn't do so that we wouldn't have to die and spend eternity in hell. That guy is our Lord. He's the most powerful being that has ever existed or ever will exist. He created everything that does exist, including concepts like time and wisdom and righteousness. The reason we know anything is holy or righteous is because he is the standard of what is righteous or holy. To walk worthy of that name is an incredibly high standard. I want to be worthy of the name. I want to know that I am worthy to be called a Christian. Now we'll talk more about that in a minute, but to be worthy of his name is an incredibly high goal that we should be seeking after. Paul is saying this is not unattainable. I want you to do this. I want you to walk in a way that is worthy of the name Jesus Christ. Instead of bring shame to his name, to be fully pleasing to him. And he says again in verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Friends, part of the reason we do this and part of the reason that I find, well, it energizes me, is when I see fruit from my labor. You know, you wouldn't want to, Ronnie, you mow grass a lot in the spring and the summer, well, fall and all the time. You would not like to go and mow an entire lawn. And you get done, you turn it off, you put it up on the on the trailer and you turn around and it looks exactly the same as when you started. That would not be a fun thing to happen, right? Or if you raise a garden, Miss Peggy, I know you love gardening. If you were to plant that garden and cultivate it and weed it and work on it, and then nothing happens, there's no flower that blooms, there's no tomatoes that blossom, that come forth in fruit. If there's no fruit from it, you feel a little bit empty, don't you? We want to see fruitfulness in our work. We want to see fruitfulness in the good works that God calls us into. And so Paul is saying, I'm praying that these things will happen so that you will see fruitfulness in every good work. That's his heart's desire for the Colossians. And I believe that's God's desire for us as individuals and us as a body, is to see fruitfulness. But that doesn't come. Bearing fruit in every good work doesn't come just by trying harder. It comes through the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And he gets into that. He starts to talk about it. The next part, he says, increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, that word knowledge is the Greek word epignosis. He wants them to increase in the knowledge, the epignosis of God. The revealed knowledge, the true knowledge of the Lord. He wants God to be revealed to them in a deeper and more intimate way. That's talking about relationship. It's not talking about going to a book and learning about God. That's factual knowledge. That's gnosis. It's talking about spending time with God and gaining more true revealed knowledge of who he really is as a person. And it'd be just like reading a book about Matthew Hinton compared to actually sitting down with Matthew Hinton. One way, you get to learn factual knowledge about, you know, how long his beard is and, you know, how long he's worn glasses, and you find out all kinds of things about him. He likes this and this and this and this. But you wouldn't know the person until you sat down with him and had a meal or did something he likes to do. Then you get to really know him, and that's different. That's the difference between gnosis or factual knowledge and epignosis or revealed knowledge. Epignosis, also in the Bible, is often connected to a powerful influence upon the person receiving the knowledge. It has power upon us, that epignosis. Paul is praying that this body at Colossae would increase in that knowledge of God. Then in verse 11 he says, and I'm reading from the ESV again here, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. He's saying, I want you to increase in the knowledge of God so that the power of God will fall upon you. So that the glorious might of God will fill you up. It's a multiplicity of results of fruitfulness that comes from gaining a deeper, intimate relationship with God. One of those is that the power of God falls upon you. We want to be powerful in the world. We want to see the power of God, the glorious power of God, go forth upon our loved ones, our family, our friends, neighbors, strangers, people you just walk by. I mean, they tell stories of people who are anointed by the Holy Spirit walk into a room and everyone in the room feels the conviction of God's power. The Holy Spirit falls upon them. They fall on their knees. The Christian has never said a word, and yet the Spirit is bringing conviction upon the sinner. And they were redeemed and changed forever. That's the power of God that the Lord wants us to have. That's the glorious power, the might that he wants us to walk in every day. Every day, folks. This is not something that, oh, well, let's pray really hard because we got this really important meeting, or there's revival at church, so we need to pray hard and pray down the power of God. God wants us to walk in that power every single day. We get up in the morning and we walk out into the world in the power of the Holy Spirit. We come here, we meet in this room, and we worship God. God wants us to worship in the power of His holy name. He wants us, the things that we do as a body, to have power and strength, glorious might, He says. The might of God, not of ourselves, not of our flesh, not of man's wisdom, but the might of God is what He desires us to have. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Why? He kind of says it in the end of that verse. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That speaks of trials. That speaks of tribulations and persecutions. You cannot expect to, well, let's walk back through all these different things that He's talking about here. You cannot be filled with the true knowledge of His will and spiritual wisdom and understanding, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increase in the knowledge of God, and strengthen with all power according to His glorious might, and expect to not be a great big target for the devil. You can't have all those things in your life and expect to never have trials or temptations or struggles or adversity. Because let me tell you, probably the devil's going to bring as much adversity on you as he possibly can. As much as he can heap upon you. So that's part of the reason we need the might and the power of God, is to be able to endure with patience and long-suffering and joy the trials and struggles of life, the persecutions of the world, the flesh and the devil. It's really important that we be anointed, because we will face trials. So just because we face difficulties or adversity or trials as individuals or as a body does not mean we're not doing right. In fact, it might be a good indication that we are doing right. I have experienced some discouragement and adversity, and I believe spiritual warfare, in the past 2 weeks. And I think, I just have a sense in my spirit that it's because I'm maybe tapping on the strongholds of the devil in my own heart, and maybe in the hearts of others, in the lives of others. And I think the devil doesn't like where we're going. And he's like, I'm gonna hit this guy hard. And he's hit me hard. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is stronger than him. And I just have to believe, and I choose to believe, that I think must be making him nervous, because I think he's kicked up his attacks upon me and my family. I don't know, I haven't compared notes with anyone else, but maybe the Lord, maybe the devil is doing that to you too, and maybe that's because our church is going in the right direction. That's just sort of a musing. That's not so much the word of God from heaven, but that's my thought. We have to be anointed for enduring adversity with joy. And then verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified, well, I'm going to read it in the King James, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then let's read that in the English Standard. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He's made you qualified. He has stamped you approved and sealed. That's what it means to make us meet. It's to make us suitable, make us acceptable. The Greek word means qualified. You're approved. You get in. Your credentials pass muster. You know that when they have a press conference, or there's some important thing maybe happening in the White House press briefing room or something, and the president's going to get up there and tell all those people in that room, you can't get into that room unless you have press credentials. You have to have credentials as a reporter. And if you don't got those credentials, you're not getting in the room. There's plenty of other things that happen. There used to be, they would check before you went into a wedding, they would check and make sure you had an invitation, and you had to bring that invitation with you. I'm sorry, your credentials don't pass muster. You've not been invited. Only the invited get to come in. That's what God has done for us. He has bestowed upon us the qualifications necessary for entrance into the marriage feast of the Lamb. He says, you come on in, because you got the credentials needed. The credentials needed are to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, to be cleansed of my sins and made a new creature. He said in I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:11, he said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We've been made a new creature. I am a new person, a new creature in Christ. When I became a believer, that old man died, and I became a new creature in Christ. And that is what he means when he says he has qualified us to partake of the inheritance that he's prepared for the saints in light. We get to partake of the beauty, the light, the glory of heaven. He has made us worthy. He's made us worthy. He's made us free. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's taken us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us, it says in the King James, into the kingdom of light. And in him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, in his dear Son. That is the message we carry to the world. The translation from darkness unto light. The redemption from sinfulness to holiness. That is the joy of the gospel. That's the blessedness of the truth that we carry to the world. I think Paul was getting all inspired when he was saying, I am praying for you. And really, that kind of brings us back to the beginning. Because all of these things that we've been sharing together are vitally important truths. And how do they come about? Paul said, these things are so important. How does it happen? He says, through prayer. He says, I'm praying earnestly that you would grow in these things, that you would gain the revealed knowledge of God's will, that you'd grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding, the power of the Holy Spirit. All of those things he mentioned start from his earnest prayers for them. His earnest prayers on their behalf. This goes back to, and really this, all of these verses go back to the power of God. All the things that we have been reading here today do not come from the power of man, the wisdom of ourselves. They come from the power of God. It's something that God imparts to us. Right from epignosis, right on down the list, God imparts all of these things to us. Let's look at them again. He says, we do not cease to pray for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding given by God. Might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Fruitfulness comes from him. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He said, fruitfulness comes from the Lord. Being pleasing to him. We can't make ourselves pleasing to him. He does that. And he says that later. He says, he's made you qualified. You are worthy to walk into the feast because he has done it upon you. Increasing in the epignosis of God, the true knowledge of God, that's something that we can't gain from a book. We can't go somewhere and figure it out. It's something God gives to us, a deeper understanding and relationship with him. Strengthened with might according to his glorious power. Being able to endure sufferings, being anointed with the power of God, that doesn't come from what I do. It's a gift of God. It's imparted to us. He has made us meet. He has made us qualified or suitable to be a partaker of that inheritance of the saints in light. And so it's no wonder that Paul says, well, what I'm doing is I'm praying for you. He didn't give them a list of books to read. He didn't give them a list of things to work on. He didn't say, try these character qualities. He didn't say any of that stuff. He didn't say, spend more time at church. He didn't say, read your Bible more. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong to do. I'm saying this is not what he said is the key to attaining these incredibly important things for a healthy church body, for a healthy individual Christians and healthy church body. He said, I'm praying for you. I am praying for you. I'm not stopping. I do not cease to pray that you would get these things because they are vital to being able to communicate the truth, to being a healthy Christian. These things are vital. And so I'm praying for you. So that tells us that we need to be praying too. We need to be asking, entreating, begging God that he would do these things in us. That he would give us these presents, these gifts. There's no other way to attain them other than the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming upon us and giving us a deeper, more intimate knowledge of God. That's where we need to seek it. Now, taking this scripture in conjunction with the rest of scripture is important too. Jesus said something else about him revealing himself. That's what epignosis is. Having epignosis of his will, having epignosis of God himself, him revealing knowledge to us. Jesus said something important about that I want us to see in John chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I will manifest myself to him. Jesus is revealed to those that keep his commandments. And so, walking away from a scripture like this, I see the incredible importance, as Paul said in Colossians, of the importance of all those things in my walk with Christ and in our walk together as believers for fruitfulness and anointing and understanding the will of God. I think to myself, well, what do I do to pursue those things? And Paul says, pray a lot. Pray that God will give those gifts to us. But the rest of Scripture also says that Jesus is revealed to us. We gain epignosis, understanding of him, deeper relationship through keeping his commandments. And I've explained to you before that keeping the commandments does not just mean obeying them, although that's incorporated. What Jesus was trying to say was, meditate upon my commandments. Meditate upon my commandments. When we do that, well, the obedience just flows right after it. He's not saying, obey my commandments and then I'll love you. That's a works-based love. And as much as we might think it is, meditation is not as much about our works as it is just sitting and listening to God talk. That's what meditation is. It's not our works. But that is another piece to this puzzle that we have got to remember. We need to ask God to give us these gifts, and we need to also go to his word, to the commandments of Christ even, and meditate upon them, and allow the Lord Jesus to reveal himself to us. This isn't a magic potion. Jesus didn't say, how does he say it? He doesn't say, will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will be manifested to him. He says it specifically, and will manifest myself to him. Again, this is something Jesus does himself. It's not something we just, you know, press the right button in the spiritual vending machine and out comes the blessing. This is Jesus revealing himself to us as we go to sit at his feet. That's what he told to Martha. He said, Martha, you're cumbered about many things, but Mary has chosen that one needful thing that shall not be taken from her. That one needful thing was to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. So, friends, if we are going to be a healthy body of believers, as individuals and as a body, we need to have the things mentioned in Colossians that Paul said, these are vital, and I'm not stopping to pray for you to get these things. If we want to have that be a part of our Christian experience, we need to pray. And we need to pray hard that God would bestow upon us those things. And we need to keep the commandments. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him. Listen to him as we meditate upon his commandments, upon the word of God. As we meditate therein, Jesus will reveal himself to us. It's like the veil of flesh. The world causes distractions and veils in our face, and we can't see the Lord for how he really is, and we can't see his will for what his will really is, and we have all these things getting in the way. And when we sit and meditate, it's like the Lord moves the veil back from our eyes, and we begin to see him for how he really is. And he's manifested, or some translations say, revealed. I will reveal myself to him. He is manifested to us as we meditate upon the word. So, my vision that I think God has imparted to me for our church body is to be a people that are characterized by the things that the Colossian church, Paul said, are, this is really, really, really important. After these verses here, he begins to talk about the preeminence of Christ and how everything is made by him and for him. And it's an incredibly beautiful explanation of who Christ is. But right there at the beginning, he says, I'm not stopping praying for you to gain these things. The vision I think God wants for us is to have those aspects be characterized of our people, of our lives as believers. And the way we get there is to pray and ask God to do it. And as we pray, to sit at his feet and meditate upon his word. And friends, as we do that, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm not pointing a finger at you, I've got at least three times as much work to do in this area as you do. This is a huge weakness in my life. But if we will do this, I believe, very firmly believe, that we will gain the true knowledge of his will with spiritual wisdom and understanding. That we will walk in a manner worthy of the name of the Lord, being fully pleasing to him. In no aspect of our lives will we be unpleasing to God. We will be fully pleasing. That we will bear fruit in every good work that God calls us to do as individuals or as a group together, will bring forth fruit. That we will increase in our knowledge, true knowledge of God. That we will know him better. That we will be strengthened with all power, with glorious might, to endure with patience and joy the trials that he brings to us. And we will give thanks, not because we did it, but because he did it. We will give thanks to our God and Father that made us qualified to be a sharer of the inheritance of the saints in light. We'll give him all the glory. We'll say, thank you, you redeemed us from our sins. You made us worthy to stand in your presence and partake in these beautiful blessings. look, friends, there's blessings here on the earth. There's blessings we can attain to here in this world. But the blessings of the eternal life, the blessings of the next life are the ones you really want to go after. And they're worth sacrificing anything in this world you got to sacrifice to gain the riches and the joy and the rewards and the blessings of the next life. So whatever we got to lay down here in this world, we ought to be willing to lay it down if it means that we're investing in eternal things. Eternal things. I believe that we can see that happen in our lives if we will pray and seek His face in the Word. Now don't tell me that you're doing this exactly how you ought to, because I know you're not. Because I know you're human. I see all of you are breathing, and therefore I know that this is a struggle. This is a battle. But I am telling you, and I'm unworthy to say this, but I believe it is from the heart of God Himself. From the heart of God Himself, if we will seek after this in our lives, we can't even contain, we can't even comprehend the blessings God intends to just shower upon us all the time. Does that mean we're going to be free of tribulation? No, because we'll have to endure tribulation with endurance and patience. No, it doesn't mean that we'll be free of that, but it means that we can see God do wondrous, mighty, incredible things. If we can have as much of God as we want, and the degree to which we are sitting at His feet, listening to His Word, that we are seeking His face in prayer, is the degree to which we will know and understand Himself. You want a lot of that? You know how to find it. You know where to find Him. If you don't want that much, well then you can just put it aside on the shelf. Let us recommit ourselves. Let us resurrender to that truth that says, I will pursue the face of God in prayer, and I will listen to His instructions through the Word. I will meditate upon it. Don't just read your chapter a day to keep the devil away. There's appeal in that, and there's sometimes when you just have to do it because you have to. It's dry sometimes, I know. But sit there and just chew on one verse. Ask as many questions as you can about just one word. That's what meditation means. Ask a question about it. Chew on it. Soak it up. If we'll do that, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we will do that, we can't even comprehend the things that God intends for us to see happen in the world, to see fruitfulness in every good work, to see power in every day of our lives, the power of God. That is inspiring to me, and it's challenging to me. And I purpose to reestablish and recommit myself to that way of living. Let's pray. Lord God, we cannot do this on our own. There is no possibility. We have not the strength or the wisdom or the spiritual ability to make this happen. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, through the power of His blood, we entreat You to please grant us these blessings, to give to us the revealed knowledge of Your will, to give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. All of these things that Paul mentions are so important. Would You please impart them to Grace Bible Church, to the people that are here and the people that couldn't be here today, that everyone walks in this room would be given those gifts as they seek Your face. Would You please manifest Yourself to us Please. We need the anointing of your Spirit. We cannot go forward without it. We must have you. There is no fruitfulness to be had apart from you. And so, we ask you, we pray that you would give to us these blessings, that you would guide us in knowing you better, understanding your will, and having fruitfulness in every work that you send us to do. We want to know your will. We want to be fruitful. We want to see your ways. We want to know you for yourself, not just for the things that you do. Please give us these blessings. Please give us these gifts. And Lord, we will thank you and praise you as the Father and God who has made us worthy to stand before you through the redemption of your Son, translated us from the kingdom of darkness into light. And we will thank you and praise you and glorify your name for all that you have done. Let your name be lifted up in our hearts today, and this week, and this month, and this year, and forevermore. Let your name be lifted up. We praise you, we thank you, and we give you glory in Jesus' name.